Wow. I understand that Pastor Roger has called you at various times to fill in when he's going to be gone, but you're just a very busy man. And I understand that the ministry is very successful. And we're anxious this morning to hear about what you've been doing and what's coming up, and to hear God's word proclaimed. Welcome, brother. We're pleased to have you this morning.
Good morning. I love you too. It's been a while. I think I'm getting old. On my last birthday, I got one birthday card. I had three coupons for cremation, 50% of funeral plot, you name it. And the other day, I met the young lady who works at Target Pharmacy, and she goes, "Hi, Ben." So we are on a first-name basis with the pharmacist. Life is good, and my wife, Eliama, is not here this morning. She's in Houston, Texas, visiting our daughter, had a second grandbaby. We rejoice in what God has done. We've been singing about worship. We've been singing about glorifying him and honoring him. As I sat there, this church has an incredible impact in my life personally. First time I've been here was in September of 1970. That was a long time ago. And you've been faithfully feeding us, supporting us, praying for us, and behalf of Eliam and I just want to say thank you. We have several churches. Then that has been part of our journey. We just finished our 31 years of ministry at Arizona State University, and all praise and glory goes to Christ, but thanks to you. Thanks to churches who invest in us. It's been an amazing journey. We want to say thank you. I just want to show a few slides. These days, all I can think about is Jesus and granddaughters. I know you think your grandchildren are great, and I'm not going to take issue with you, but these are the five God has given us. The top two belongs to our daughter, Asha. The youngest one is just turned 4 months old. She born with a full head of hair. We had to take her to the beauty parlor the next day. but that one, the older one, Maya, she's an amazing young lady. At the age of two, she was sitting at the kitchen table. Came from Houston last Christmas, and she's on a thoughtful mood like this, so her mother said, "Baby, what are you thinking?" And her response was, "I am trying to make sense of God." You know, she's always been strange. I call her a philosopher. And the bottom three belongs to our son, Jason, age 9, 8, and 5. The five-year-old gives me a lot of sermon materials. She's a drama queen. I might refer her later on to you. Go ahead. You know, our ministry is built around relationships with students. Arizona State University is the largest single university in our nation. We had 80,000 just on the main campus. They don't like the word main campus, Tempe campus. And we had the largest enrollment, international enrollment this past year. We have 8,800 internationals from 128 some nations. The first activity every year is a Grand Canyon trip. We rent a 60-passenger bus. It gives us opportunity to mingle. And these events, I have the best job in the world. I get to hang out with college kids. Do my own thing, and then get to come and preach. You can't ask for anything better than this. So these events like this allow us to build relationship. Go ahead. This is at the Payson Magellan Rim. These people, these students like to see Arizona, so we do some one-day trips. This is a party at our house. We had 67 in the backyard. I cooked, you didn't know an Indian could be a barbecue specialist, but the Chinese don't know the difference, so we... And the Indians don't know what barbecue is, so everybody thought it was great. Friday night, pray for us. Every Friday night is our main event. The trips and parties are fine. That's not the purpose. That's simply the process of getting the job done. Friday night is our big event. We have, this past year, I was talking to Gary. I don't know if I use the word hunger or spiritual thirst, but they are coming. We get 50, 60 come every Friday night. Some claim to be Hindus, some claim to be atheists, some claim to be agnostic, but welcome. You mess with God's word long enough, God will change you. So small group format, I put together the question. We do something a little different in our Friday night Bible study than we do in church. Most of the time when we think of Bible study, a teacher studies and teaches the students. But in our system, I put together 8 questions normally, 6 to 8 questions, and every non-believer has a copy of God's word, and we help them find the answer from the Bible. So often we want to send them home, not with answer, but with the question that penetrates their hearts. And it's been an amazing year. We have seen 4 people come to know Christ in a personal way. Pray that they will grow in their faith. And 2 events we do that are evangelistic. We have a Christmas dinner, which you have helped with in the past. We get about 300 students. Almost all non-Christians, we have a beautiful banquet, dinner provided for them. And we believe in truth in advertising. We tell the students all that will take place. Somebody will share the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is much more than Santa Claus, and it's God becoming man. So it's an evangelistic outreach. And then this one, what you're looking at, is not a very good picture, but we had 300 came to our Easter outreach. This is an outreach we do with 3 or 4 other groups that work at ASU with the International Ministry. And it's a testimony to these students. Different groups do their own things. But for this event, we join in together for the glory of God. So you continue to pray for us. And for this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 21 through 24. I titled this message, Finishing the Task. How would you like to be on the front line of the newspaper at age 97 with this title? At age 97, great, great grandmother become high school's oldest graduate. This happened. Her name is Gustava Beres. It marked the fulfillment of a dream she has harbored for almost 9 decades. She was born in 1905 in a small town in Louisiana, one of 10 children in a very poor family. 2 years later, her family moved to a rural Oklahoma where they grew cotton, corn, tomatoes, and other crops. Her parents had to pull her up out of school to help support the family. Then she got married in 1966, and she raised 11 children of her own, including 7 who graduated from Richmond High School in San Francisco. But all throughout her life, the task of graduating from high school was her ultimate dream. And on June 14, 2003, at the age of 97, escorted by two of her sons, she walked through the stage and received her high school diploma. If some of you think you are too slow, this may encourage you. But she said, "My dream has come true." Burris said with a smile, after the ceremony, as her black and silver hair tucked beneath a red tasseled graduation cap. Finishing the task. But this morning, I am here to encourage you that as the body of Christ, as followers of Christ, we all may have our own task and projects. But from God's perspective, there's only one task that is given to church, and that is not given to a mission agency. The task is given to the body of Christ, the church, the most significant commodity in God's overall kingdom agenda. You and me. That is building God's kingdom on this planet Earth. Gary mentioned about the communion. It is 2,000 years old. But this concept of God's kingdom is even more than 2,000 years old. Everything in the scripture from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, it is God's kingdom agenda in progress. While Jesus was with his disciples, Jesus reminded them his purpose statement. He didn't come to establish a kingdom at the moment. And then after his resurrection, Jesus came back and he gave that incredible statement in Matthew chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission, where he said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." And you know what happened? The moment he was arrested, all deserted him. But Jesus had to show up even in the book of Acts, where the church history begins. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Jesus showed up and Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And that word we use in English, witnesses, it literally means martyrs. That's what it means. "And you will be my martyrs, my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." And the scripture says, after he said this, he, Jesus, was taken up before their very eyes, and cloud hid him from their sight. And it's interesting to notice, it's helpful to go read the book of Acts once in a while. And the progress of the kingdom building, the task wasn't going so well, and God sovereignly changed a man named Saul of Tarsus into Paul the Apostle. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 21. The Apostle Paul says, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Just a couple of statements. A genuine relationship with Christ must have two elements. That is repentance and faith. Often we talk about faith, receiving Jesus, but repentance is a significant part of a bona fide relationship with Christ, because Jesus said, "Only the sick who has a need for a doctor." Repentance is coming to that point, say, Lord, my way is not the right way. I have realized, and repentance is my willingness to turn around, and faith is accepting the forgiveness in Christ. Look at verse 22 and 23. And now, compelled by the Spirit, Paul says, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And the point here is this. Finishing the task has a price tag. Finishing the task of building Christ's kingdom is an expensive price tag. During the ministry of Jesus, he warned his disciples about this incredible price they may have to pay. Jesus said, I sent you as sheep into the midst of wolves. Jesus even warned them, suffering and giving up their own life for the kingdom cause. If you are taking notes, we don't have time to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28, the Apostle Paul described all that he has been through for the sake of the gospel. Sticking with the task is very costly. Christians in many parts of the world, our spiritual siblings all across the world know this much better than us. And I'm speaking not as an Indian to you this morning. I have been more than two-thirds of my life in America. I'm speaking to you as an American Christian. We know very little about the persecution for the sake of the gospel. Whenever I go to Mombasa, Kenya, I've been there 9 times. Whenever I go to Mombasa, Kenya, I come back more excited than I ever went before when I see these people have nothing, risking their own life, coming to church. I ask myself, how far are you willing to go? And then in America, in our country, we act. Sometimes we act like we are doing Jesus a big favor by coming to worship. See, when we focus on the task of promoting Christ, persecution is inevitable. And sometimes persecution is physical, and other times it's emotional and spiritual. When I first came to the U.S., I spoke two words of English. I used to say yes and no. But I remember a gentleman pulled out a dollar bill, and he said, in your country is a mess because you have many gods. But in America, he showed me, in God we trust. America is a Christian nation, he said. And that may be true then. But if you still think, year 2015, America is a Christian nation, you are about 50 years behind time. There may be a time when the Congress met and read the scripture and asked God to guide them in their decision making, but that's been a long time ago. America is nothing but a Christian nation. You come to the university campus. Christians are the minority. Being politically correct often violates the biblical teaching, and we are engaged in heavy-duty spiritual warfare. And my fear is this. My fear is this. Same-sex marriage, all this stuff. My fear is this. The day will come where the real Christians have to stand up and be counted. Because being politically correct and being obedient to God's truth is radically different in American culture. Finishing the task has a price tag. Secondly, fulfilling the task requires focus. Look at verse 24. However, Paul says, in spite of the persecution, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. One of Paul's favorite metaphors in the scripture in the New Testament referring to Christian life is the metaphor of race. And we don't have too much time, but 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 27 is an amazing passage of scripture where Paul really built up this concept of race. Three things, three statements I want to make. The purpose of the race, according to 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 27, the purpose of the race must be clear. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 says, do you not know in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. The purpose of the race is not to run, but the purpose of the race is to go to the finish line. Verse 26 says, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Paul says, I don't simply run for the sake of running. Then it becomes a rat race. But rather, my purpose for running is to cross the finish line. And then Paul uses the boxer. The boxer doesn't simply beat the air, but he has the opponent's face as a target. The process of the race must be understood. 23% of Americans believe that the church has any relevancy to their life. One out of four people passes by your neighborhood, look at this church, they could care less. And the question comes by, how do we reach? And I understand, we don't like a lot what's going on in our country. But how do the question come back is this, how do we reach a generation that is allergic to the church? Should we sit on our spiritual rocking chair and say, my, isn't the world going into hell in a basket? That's one option. The other option is having the mind of Christ. We tearfully and prayerfully seek and to save that which is lost. We can depend on the White House to help us in this project. The ministry of reconciliation is given to you and me as God's people. See, the process is being a servant. Look at verse 22. The Apostle Paul says, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Becoming all things to all men does not mean we have to agree with everything that is going on. Simply put, becoming all things to all men means having the eye of Christ and seeing people with a heart of compassion and lost. It is God's truth that our culture needs. The gospel of grace is what people are looking for. Mother Teresa was asked how she was able to spend her whole life in the slums of Calcutta. Without a thought, she said, I saw Jesus in every person I met. And the pain of the race must be endured. Paul says, I beat my body, I make it my slave, so that I have preached to others. I myself will not be disqualified. We have work to do. I know you're going through changes. We've been praying for you. It was March 30th, 2014. I was here. And I did a message. I don't expect any of you to remember. The title of the message was Answers That Define. And as I was late last night, I was thinking about this church, and I could have very well come and preach that message. And the three questions I wanted you to consider was this. I know we are on the process of finding that pastor. The transition team is working hard and all of this, I know. But I personally believe the church, the health of the church begins with each believer. And the three questions I posed is this: am I growing in Christ, or am I simply growing old in my faith? And how every one of us would answer plays a significant part in the future of the church. And the second question is, am I God-focused or man-centered? Listen, people come, you know, some of you seniors here, you have seen pastors come, pastors disappear, but God's church remains somehow. God has brought this thing called church with his own blood. And church is the most incredible, valuable, precious commodity God the Father has on this planet Earth. Because you know why? Because he gave his son to purchase the church. And I remind people, be careful. Be careful. Not what I think is not that important. What's important is, Lord, what do you want us to do? I remind people, don't mess with God's church. Church is fragile. Church is God's testimony on this planet Earth. And the third question was, am I engaged in eternal causes, or am I entangled by tunnel vision? See, the task is to testify to the grace of the Lord Jesus to a world that desperately needs us. Sometimes the greatest hindrance to task is other tasks and other projects. But my prayer for you, you've been faithful. This church has an amazing history. Multiplying church plants and supporting missionaries, and you going through a slow season. And my prayer for you, just hang in there. And may God use you. May God bless you in the days ahead. The last three points are free of charge. Just go home and study. But it's been nice to be here with you. And keep focusing. Keep focusing. I have made a principle in my own life. Before I make decisions, I say, Lord, is this what you would want me to make? Is this decision, is this desire I want to do, is this flesh directed or spirit operated? Would I make the same ministry decisions I would make for my own home? Stewardship. See, God given us assignments. Every one of us are a significant part of this church. Maybe all have caution. Maybe all have wisdom. Paul says, challenges are part of life. Paul says, however, my desire is to run the race and finish the task God has given to me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what you have done and what you continue to do as we go through this season of change and transition. Lord, I bless this church and I thank you for each person who has gone before us and every believer that is a part of this church called First Baptist Church of Prescott. Lord, give us vision, give us your heart. Give us opportunity to reach people that are lost. Remind us the kingdom and the furthering of your gospel is the main thing you have called us to. Bless us and guide us so that you may receive the glory and honor. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate so much your ministry.